I'm John from Game Life Balance US, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other geeky podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And get ready, because geekiness commences in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to Earth 2's favorite newspaper. In audio form, the Starling Tribune. I am the chief editor, Stargate Pioneer. My friends, they call me SP. And your reporters for this episode 18 of season 5 of the Starling Tribune are Chris.
Nope, don't want to know. Already have more than enough nightmare fuel from this job to last me a while.
Yeah, definitely a lot of nightmares in Arrow this week. And Michelle.
Such a burden, always being right.
Yeah, that's the burden of a lot of Arrow characters, unfortunately. Although they're wrong half the time, too. So that's what we'll have to discuss later. By the way, this podcast is recorded on Thursday, March 30th, 2017. Live on Geeks.live. You can find us on such places like Spreaker and DC TV, but you can always find us at www.geeks.live. Tonight, we'll be discussing this week's episode of Arrow, as well as news interviews, articles, and announcements that have dropped in the last week that could, and quite frankly do, impact future episodes of Arrow, as well as the other DC comic book TV shows like The Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, Vixen, Wonder Woman, Lois and Clark Smallville, and Constantine.
Hey, you guys want a Smallville spoiler? Tom Welling never puts on the damn suit.
A little bitter about that, Chris.
Spoiler alert from 5 years ago or whenever that show came out. No, just a little bitter. But hey, as a reminder, speculations are going to come from a lot of things, like what the showrunners have said in interviews or the actors have said in interviews. And we're going to throw out a lot of wild speculation based off what they say. So beware, we might accidentally be right and accidentally spoil something they're going to do in the future of the show. Don't forget, we're also going to geek out and talk about this week's DC Comics, so every once in a while there could be a bit of a comic book spoiler, but we'll try our best not to ruin it for you and give you a little bit of a heads up if we're going to talk comics.
If you're new to the show, thank you for searching us out on the internet and joining us. If you like our content, why don't you swing by our podcast network home at GunnaGeek.com, where you can find all of our past shows, plus a ton of other geeky videos, podcasts, and articles, all under the Gunna Geek Productions banner.
Thanks, guys. That was a lot of information to get through, but we're ready to get into the big content. So, Michelle, why don't you start us off and break down the current episode for us?
Sure. This week's episode is called Disbanded. It is the 18th episode of Season 5. It aired Wednesday, March 29th, 2017. Director J.J. McCarro has directed One Arrow and Three Flash, was the stunt producer on 23 episodes of Arrow, 13 episodes of Legends, 13 episodes of Supergirl, and 4 Flash. The writer was Rebecca Bellotto, and she's written 2 episodes of Arrow.
Wow, so we got a really experienced director, and then pretty much a newbie writer. What was the other episode that Rebecca wrote? Do you remember off the top of your head?
No.
I do not.
So it was Broken Hearts.
That was Cupid, wasn't it?
Yes.
I like Cupid.
Yeah. So some good stuff there from a newbie, but definitely JJ brought it home with the experience this week. So we normally go through the ratings that all of these DC shows got on CW. We had a full slate this week starting on Monday. Supergirl brought in 2.21, a far cry from their 7 or 8 numbers that they used to get on CBS. But hey, this is CW, so they're doing pretty good, I would think. The Flash, they're a little bit down from last week's extravaganza of Duet. Actually, that was 2 weeks ago, wasn't that? And they brought in 2.3. No, that was last week. I'm getting my days crossed because we did a special Gunna Gleek episode on GunnaGeek.com show this week. They brought in 2.39 on The Flash this week, which is down Just a 0.3 from the duet crossover with Supergirl. Legends of Tomorrow brought in 1.59. And before you go, oh, that's really down. It is down, but not as much as you think, because the show's been bringing in consistently about 1.8 on average. And Arrow rebounded from their series low, stab me in the heart of 1.3 something last week, and they rose to 1.55 this week with Disbanded. So I think they've earned a little bit higher ratings, so we'll just hope everybody gets back from spring break and gives Arrow a chance again as the season comes to a close. So now we're going to get on to what we talk about, the episode and themes, plots. Let's talk about the title of the episode, Disbanded. Michelle, how do you think Disbanded fit into this episode?
Well, Oliver came back from hanging out with Prometheus and saying, we can't do this anymore. We got to break up the band. And then Diggle wouldn't keep up on him, you know, and stuff. And so then Oliver got that band back together and decided to break up with his former Russian band called the Bratva.
Bratva. Gotta love the Bratva. Yeah, the Bratva in here, it was kind of funny because in the flashbacks, they're kind of like, okay, we're going to do all good things now. And in the future, you see Anatoly kind of fall from grace a little bit. And they don't end it on a particularly good note, but you have the promise of more to come. So that's going to be cool. So Chris, what do you got for Disbanded?
Disbanded? I just want to know what instrument Oliver's playing in this band. Is he like on the guitar or the drums or like lead singer? Maybe he's a piano guy. I don't know.
Michelle, what do you think Oliver would play?
He's playing the world's smallest violin because I'm so bad. I'm beyond redemption. La, la, la,
la, la, la, la. So they're playing at Oliver's pity party.
Yep.
Well, the way the series was written, he'd probably be lead guitar, but I'd really have problems seeing the guy rock out on stage since he's usually deadpan.
He would be that guitar player, you know, acoustic in the coffee shop, just strumming away.
With long hair?
Yeah, right.
He'd still be better than Scott Stapp. That's all I know.
I just hope he doesn't play Wonderwall.
Oh, God. I love this random aside we just took.
It was great. I've got a lot to say about Oliver, but before we get there, let's talk about the fights, because the fights are what we really treasure about this show. And we had quite a few fights. The first fight was the Bratva, and they were there to steal medicine. But hey, we had the gang, the disbanded gang, there to make sure that they didn't actually, but they really did get the diabetes medicine. So Chris, what did you think about that little skirmish, we'll call it?
Dinah continues to be a badass. I love the new Black Canary, the power, they keep putting it in there properly. And she's just going in there and owning people. This is what we should have had. I'm not crapping on Laurel Lancey. Like, this is what the Black Canary should have been, though. Go in there, kick butt, take names, and do things. I really enjoyed seeing that. It's kind of fun to see them all out in the world, though, not wearing their costumes. It's just so fun. Suit up. What suit? Oh, you mean the metaphor. It's really neat to me just to see everyone all wearing all black, just like the Bratva guys, so you could have some friendly fire issues. But it's a cool change of pace.
So I have something to say about Curtis. He's ruined every single suit up moment this season. It is his thing to do. He's ruined them all. If he stops ruining them for the rest of the season, I'm going to be like, oh, you guys broke your streak for nothing. We had all this set up for nothing because he continues to break every. It's like, oh, but suit up, but we don't have any suits, but we, oh, what? Oh, you mean this? And we don't know what he means until they get out in the field. And his face is scratchy because of the scarf.
Well, I mean, you got to remember, his mask is just face paint normally, so he's not used to this whole mask thing.
Well, he better get used to it, because it's coming. So, Michelle, you had the first attack on Chase when he's in the motor pool. How'd that work out?
Well, you know, there was that crash, and then, you know, Bratva come out, there's a bunch of guns, and then the team, I love how Diggle is like, just because Oliver doesn't want to lead the team, you know, I'll still lead it. And Dinah has her canary cry. She knocks them out. And there's a bunch of gunfire, which There was a lot of guns in this episode, and my brain just sort of went, wait, wasn't there a gun control episode this season? But anyway, my favorite part was when Chase runs off and Curtis tackles him, and he's actually able to use his T-sphere to hack this device that allows him, Prometheus, to scramble his face when it's being on camera.
How convenient he had it on his civilian identity and not with his costume hanging up somewhere on the shelf.
True, but Curtis finally used the T-sphere in a way that I understood.
To get back to Chris's point, though, you never know when you're going to just be too hungry and you need this Snickers bar, so you need to put your hand in the vending machine and on up, and you have to abscond your face from recognition of the vending machine surveillance cameras all for a Snickers. So it works out in the end.
Fair enough, I guess. I never thought about the Snickers idea. I'll be honest, I'm at a loss here. Hey.
It's all about the Snickers, and I haven't had one in a while, so I might need to go get one. So, Michelle, Chris brought up Dinah before. Let's go down that road just a little bit. I am enjoying Dinah in this series, and I would agree with Chris. If this was the Dinah that we had, no matter which actor was in there, I think the audience for Arrow would have taken to her, and perhaps even Stephen Amell himself, taken to the character a lot better than Laura Lance was. But what do you think about that?
Okay, sure. They didn't have metas in the first season of Arrow, you know, because they wanted to be like the down and dirty and everything. They still could have had a person who was already trained. You know, Dinah Drake is a cop. She already knows how to fight, and she already knows how to handle herself. And so in the beginning, where they had Laurel be a lawyer, it was like, I know she took some self-defense classes and all that type of stuff, but it really wasn't in the vein of a Black Canary that we were used to. It just would have been nicer if they already had her be at least halfway to being a badass, instead of she basically started at zero on the badass-o-meter. That's just my take.
Okay. We'll definitely get more into Dinah as the season progressed, because I don't think this character is going far. Her screen time might be limited from time to time, but every time she's on screen, she kills it. Just like they were in the loft and she gave the new Diggle away to Wild Dog. And just by that, that was a very Diggle move, and she got that back. So, all right, let's continue on with the fights, the flashback with the Broadfa, and we find out for sure that this is a mere couple of weeks. And so he's got whatever time between then and when he gets picked up to grow the beard to go to Lian Yu and grow the beard and get picked up. So this is what happens. Boom. He's done. As of this episode in Russia, he goes to Lian Yu, and then we pick him up in season one. We get that timeline here. But before that, we'll talk about the battle of the medicine to help all those kids mainly, but other people with tuberculosis. So what did you think of that fight, Michelle?
Oliver using his arrow as a stabbing device. Did a little stab. He had a nice little aerial move. Used the guide, the bullet thing. And, you know, that look he gave Anatoly, like, I did what you needed. Let's go get the medicine. Still going to leave, but thanks for the last good 48 hours.
And don't forget, they're going to get drunk too.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Very, very drunk on vodka.
Vodka. I wish I had a better Russian accent. It'd be so cool hanging out with Anatoly. It was great. And they did lead into the fact that with Oliver Queen gone, that Anatoly was going to have to make some tough choices. And then fast forward 5 years, he's had to make those tough choices. Not exactly in Oliver's favorite camp. And that leads us into the second Broadfa fight and the final one that we get in the episode in real time. And there's just a lot of fighting going on, and basically they don't want to kill anybody. The disbanded team doesn't want to kill anybody. Diggle's like, no, we're not supposed to spill any blood. So how'd that fight work out for you, Chris?
How are they not spilling blood? They're shooting people left and right.
It's only a flesh wound.
They're headshots.
Yeah. I mean, he literally shot guys in the head that were holding people hostage. I remember looking at that going, Wasn't this the same show like a season and a half ago? It was like, I must not kill. Killing is terrible. And then, oh, I might have to kill Damian Dark. I don't know what to do. We keep flip-flopping back and forth really fast onto whether we're going to kill everyone. We're going to kill no one. We're going to make special exceptions to kill people. And I didn't realize it so much until this, where it's just straight in your face because everyone's got a gun and they're plugging people. And you're just going... I mean, it was cool to watch, but...
Yeah. It's not like Nazis are Huns, right? It's not like this ubiquitous villain that everybody's against. I mean, the Broadfoot, that's Oliver's people. He is a Broadfoot captain. Or is he not because the tattoo's gone? I don't know. I'm a little confused on that.
I don't think he is at the end of this episode based off his conversation with Anatoly. At that point, I believe the Broadfoot relationship is finally severed.
Yeah, he made an enemy of all Broadfoot. So very convenient. The tattoo's gone. Then he makes an enemy of the Bratva. So you can't go back on that. But yeah, again, as I said earlier, you know, Oliver's got a gun. And again, they did a gun control episode this season. And it's just, what?
But that was with the Green Arrow. And this is with the dude in the black mask this week.
We didn't talk about this at the time, but do you think the gun control episode would have been better placed if you just took all the characters and they talked like a documentary on the perils of gun control rather than them as actors and characters in the Arrow series? Do you think that would have fit the series better? Or do you think that Guggenheim did the right thing by placing it as an episode of Arrow during the season?
Either way, it's a disconnect. I mean, he's the showrunner. He can do what he wants. So the episode did his purposes. I don't know what would have been the right fit, to be honest.
None?
Well, yeah. Ideally, it would have been none, but I don't think that was going to be the case because he said it himself. They had a story they wanted to tell.
Yeah, I know. Boy, I had no filter on that one, but it's true. It was so odd. It was so odd.
So that, again, coming back to bite the show plot and continuity. So Oliver, in this episode, has to rebound from last episode, which he said he killed and he liked it. And it inferred that he was continuing to kill and liking it in that episode. I think they did a good job of coming out of that. I'm not sure that Oliver is clear in his head which person he really is. I know they had a lot of heart-to-heart moments, but at the end of the day, I was still scratching my head over what's changed. Nothing has changed. He's come out and he says he kills and he likes it, and that's still the guy that's on camera right now.
He's working on trying to, in his own mind, become worthy of being the Green Arrow again, because remember that whole scene at the end of the episode where they've got all the costumes set back up on the shelf again, and Wild Dog says something effective. Looks like it could use more green. Well, I'm not ready for that yet. So he's got to come through some kind of personal transformation of some kind, I'm guessing, before he puts back on the green leather costume. But again, this is another case of, Oliver, I feel terrible about everything I've done. Let me do what I've done every season multiple times. Push everyone away so no one else gets hurt by me. And then, let me come up with a bad plan, which is, I can't kill Prometheus, but let me call my buddy Anatoly and tell him to kill Prometheus. And because I'm broken right now, I'll let him do whatever he wants, as long as he kills Prometheus for me.
You know, for me, like I said, this is the woe was me tour again. To me, the true hero of this episode was Diggle. Because for me, he was just a heart and soul. He is the one that's like, you know, he stepped up. I'm not going to give up on Oliver. You are my brother, Oliver. I know you are better than this. I have been with you for 5 years. I have followed you on this crusade. And, you know, Oliver's like, but it was based on a lie. And then Diggle's like, no, look, I know who you are. Prometheus doesn't know who you are. I know who you are. You are my brother. And you told me I can earn redemption by being Spartan. You can earn redemption by being Green Arrow. Just, you should not be alone. You need to ask for help, and I am here for you.
I think this was one of Diggle's strongest episodes ever, because he does put Oliver in his place, but it's not condescending. It's more of, I am your brother. We've been through hell together. Let's work through this. In addition, that he takes charge of the team. He's the new team lead when Oliver isn't there, and he keeps the team going. He actually interdicts with Felicity, who's got some sort of really bad habit with Helix going on, and he's able to run the path of the team to help Oliver out, even though he doesn't want the help. So this is definitely, in my opinion, it might be Diggle's finest episode ever.
It is a very good episode for Diggle. One of the other things I really enjoyed about this is he was able to take his experience at the beginning of the season where he's in jail and he blames himself for everything that's gone on and kind of relate that to the situation Oliver's in and be like, I've been where you are. You came and found me and brought me out of it and said, I can find my redemption. I can do better by being Spartan, and kind of throws Oliver's own words back at him to start to get him to think about the fact that, okay, maybe this was kind of foolish to abandon my crusade, and maybe I legit had the worst plan of 2017 by saying, let me call in a bunch of Russian gangsters to come in and kill a serial murderer who has ruined my life.
So I got a small question on that. I get where they were trying to go with the flashbacks and in real life with the Broadfoot, but do you think he would have been better off if he would have called the Bertinelli family to try to knock off Chase?
He doesn't have a relationship with the Bertinellis.
He has a relationship with Huntress,
who's in prison. If Barry, I don't know what happened with Flashpoint, but if the original timeline is still intact, she's still in prison. And she didn't do as much as like Oliver has, but she's in prison. Still have problems with that. So no, calling Anatoly, and besides, it brings back, you know, it ties the flashbacks in with, you know, they did introduce Anatoly in the present with that Bratva episode. So it does help bring things together.
Okay, so number one, damn it, Barry. Number two is she could still get a message out. I mean, she's still connected to the family on some level.
No, I'm saying she wouldn't even help. She's still in prison. Why would she even help?
Yeah, because she cares about that.
The last time we saw her, it was all about doing the right thing.
The right thing would be to get her out of prison because she didn't do half as much as Oliver has done, and she's still in prison.
Put her on the suicide squad. Oh, wait. Oh, man.
You're going to open that wound? You're going to rip off that Band-Aid?
I did right there. Academy Award winning Suicide Squad, I might add, but that's not.
Oh, my God. Stab me. Stab me in the heart 3 times. Oh, my.
So from a storytelling standpoint, it kind of made sense to make it be the Bratva, because you've had so many flashbacks with them throughout this season, and Anatoly back through season 2, things like that. And you get that nice parallel of Anatoly at the 5 years ago, who is hopeful he can do good things with the Bratva, but has concern that without his friend there to help him, who is basically his friend who would go and do all the dirty work for him, that he might not be able to do the good that he wants to do. Flash forward, and well, he's basically accepting a contract from Oliver to kill someone to sell drugs. So you can see how Anatoly hasn't been able to save the Bratva in the way he wanted to, and that's a nice comparison to get. That being said, Oliver's plan is still terrible, but from a storytelling standpoint, it's fun so you get that difference in how the Bratva has changed.
And don't forget, Kovar was still alive the last time we saw, or was brought back to life the last time we saw him, so he's got to be in that equation as well. We have not seen the last of Kovar, in my opinion.
He might die again in the flashbacks. You never know. We still got enough time that Oliver's still got like 44 hours until he leaves Russia.
And he could be on the island. Oh, I didn't think about that. Kovar and Oliver on the island. Ooh, that would give him enough time to grow the beard.
Yeah, I was going to say Oliver's going to cut his hair off and make it a beard. But I think I have the beard solution fixed, though. Magic. Constantine's magic tattoo will give him a beard.
And he'll have those herbs again. Because remember, Leon Yu has all those magic herbs.
Magic herbs that do everything.
And I'm sure Anatoly would give him vodka. So again, magic tattoo plus magic herbs mixed with some vodka equals beard.
The bearded brotherhood.
I'm going with it.
It equals a bad habit. It equals somebody that's recovering from addiction is what that means. Oh my.
Look, I'm not saying it's vodka in here, but this is clear liquid in my bottle I'm drinking from tonight.
I'm not saying this is anything else than root beer in this mug.
Well, you'd be dead.
Damn yeah. It, you're ruining it.
That's what I'm here for, is to ruin people's jokes. Mine are bad already, so I got to bring everyone else down to my level.
You know what else is bad is the fact that Thea's not on there. We talked about why, but she's not there, and she should have been for this episode. She would have been great to have in this episode with the disbanded team.
We'll just smack some sense into Oliver, because you know she probably wouldn't have put up with that. Well, she basically doesn't when you talk about, I talked to Thea, She was basically like, let him be for a little bit and he'll knock himself out of it.
Well, is she really in the headspace to actually bring him out of it? I mean, Diggle, he did this by himself. Like, he wanted Felicity to go and talk to Oliver, but she's like, you know, this is his plan. You know, maybe, like, whatever, I'm going to go run off to Helix. You know, Diggle was like, okay, Thea's not going to be due. Felicity's not going to, but he kept the team together. He talked to Oliver. He did it himself. So Diggle's the man.
Well, you got to also remember, if Thea was actually around, the one thing that's been consistent this season is she's fiercely defensive for her brother. One would think she would have become applied to this problem in some way, shape, or form. And I kind of wish she'd been around last week when Oliver was kidnapped on the hunt looking for him. Because again, one of the consistent themes this season has been that Thea is way on his side. She puts the costume on again, partly because it's aliens, but partly to help Oliver at one point in time. So it would have been nice to see. We understand why it's not happening.
I'm picturing her teaming up with not Talia, the other daughter of Ra's al Ghul.
Nyssa.
I'm picturing her teamed up with Nyssa right now. I think that's a buddy movie, a Thelma and Louise, if you will, that I would have watched.
Headcanon accepted.
There you go. Talking about great women on the series, Felicity was my crush on the show for a long time until Olicity happened. But I'm just going to just reference a little bit of action over on Legends of Tomorrow. Michelle, did you see that this week?
Yes, I did.
Yes. So if you want to see an alternate version of Felicity, however, very briefly, you need to see this week's Legends of Tomorrow. It's actually a pretty good scene. But she is into her Helix addiction. And the reason I say it's addiction is because everybody's telling her to back off. And she just rushes in headfirst into this hacking community to the point where Curtis hacks the hackers in order to follow her and pretty much get some stuff done.
That break-in was kind of funny. I mean, it was cool, but they go in, no gloves, no mask. I mean, sure, Felicity had great hair, but fingerprints? I know they hacked the cameras and stuff, but even though they sedated the guard, he still saw them without a mask. So, police drawing?
No, I know how that works. That conveniently makes people forget the last 5 minutes before they were knocked out. It's a magic drug brew.
Yeah, I'll pull my best Neil here and go, because plot!
That's more what I was going to get to. Yeah, it's really just because plot. I mean, it was cool. You got a nice little team-up moment for Felicity and Curtis again, which we hadn't had in a while, so that was enjoyable.
Curtis used his magic blue balls this week, too.
Don't do it.
He used his balls really well. I was very impressed how he handled his balls this episode.
His magic blue balls.
Well, he is newly divorced, so they could be...
All right, moving on. So yeah, they had a little bit of action with the obscuring technology from Cord Industries, which this was not the first time that Cord Industries was referenced this week on CW. Go reference the other shows on CW to find out what I'm talking about. And was able to unmask Adrian Chase, or what we know as Adrian Chase, as Prometheus. Of course, one of the long-running theories of our very own Michelle is that the real Adrian Chase is still out there.
So that digital unmasking made me feel a little bit better about the fact that he dramatically takes his mask off on the top of a building once he throws Vigilante off of it. I was like, okay, well, at least there was a reason other than just looking cool on camera now to set up this future threat. But it seems remarkably careless of him for a guy that's 10 steps ahead of everyone to take your mask off on top of the building, even though you have a digital masking device of some kind. Why?
Well, you know, Oliver says that one of the things that Prometheus didn't count on was Felicity and Helix. He really didn't count on Helix being available.
I think, to fast forward a little bit, Adrian Chase is tipped off once he is unmasked by the police. That policewoman who I don't remember ever seeing before, but has probably been in the series, the dirty cop, that they are going to go arrest him, the FBI agents that have him in protective custody, as well as the hordes of police that are traveling very rapidly to go get him, and he kills very brutally both FBI agents and then just drives away to this just flowery, sunny music. I forget the name of the song.
It's a Beautiful Morning.
It's a Beautiful Morning. And he's just driving away to It's a Beautiful Morning as the caravan of dozens of police cars go by in order to arrest him. This is not the last time we've seen Adrian Chase. As a matter of fact, we see in the promo for next week that they're going after Adrian Chase with the whole Helix thing. So I know it's not the end of the Adrian Chase plot, but it could have been. And that was almost kind of a Deadshot moment a little bit.
It was a cool moment, and I thought it was suitably creepy and fit well with the character as he's rocking out and smiling going down the road covered in blood from killing the police officers. That was pretty cool.
Yes, it was.
So what else we got for this episode, Michelle?
Oliver's breakup with Susan Williams was just, I can't be with you.
I'm sorry.
My apologies. He said, my apologies. Like, who is it's like, I'm sorry. My apologies that I'm breaking your heart or whatever. But yeah, my apologies.
You've been through hell and back for me. But no, I can't be with you anymore. No, yeah, we need you to go away right now.
Well, she's, to be fair, they had to clear up her schedule so she could go be on Suits, because she was on Suits this last season. No, I don't know. In all seriousness, I mean, he's in a bad headspace right there, so I kind of get the fact he might want to be like, look, I'm doing terrible things to make sure Prometheus gets killed. I've basically sold my soul and the city out to the Bratva to ensure this happens. I'm pushing my team away from me. I can't leave this obvious weakness that is a woman I care for here. Just, I need to get everything off my plate is what Oliver's doing, right or wrong, so I sort of get why he's doing it, and I don't really care much about the character of Susan Williams, so I'm going, eh, okay.
So, Michelle, are we going to see Susan Williams again, or was she literally brought on the show for a one-night stand?
I don't think so. Maybe she might for a little, I don't know, moment, but I really think she's, you know, riding off into the sunset.
Was she the rebound for Oliver after Olicity so that they could probably explore something with Dinah next season?
Probably.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm not sure they're going to go down that Dinah route next season, but I could be wrong.
I hope they don't, actually, because there's a potential to ruin the dynamic on there. And I like Dinah on the show the way it is, but it is a CW show, Chris.
They haven't had a ton of screen time, just the two of them. I mean, there's nothing really there if you'd be like, oh my God, I have to see it, unless you're just one of the random shippers on the internet.
They're not random. It's called fanfic, and there's a lot of it.
Oh, I'm familiar with the terminology. Believe you me, I don't necessarily go and read much Arrow fanfic, but I'm familiar with the fact that there are multiple shippers out there for some relationships you probably wouldn't even think of. And I'm sure the slash fics are out there for like Diggle and Ollie and stuff like that. There's some odd stuff out there, I'm sure.
I think they're going to put him and Felicity back together. Ugh. I'm going to call it. Oh. I'm going to call it.
No.
I'm no. calling it right now.
No. She needs a redemption arc, but no, not back to that.
He gets a redemption arc. She gets a redemption arc. She gets insight into him and finally understands his headspace. And they fall back. And I made Chris facepalm.
Let's talk about something else, please. A couple other things we should probably touch on. Wild Dog had that great moment. Why aren't you in City Hall? Well, basically because he threatened to plug Chase anytime he walked in. So Lance is like, you can't come to work. You're going to shoot the district attorney.
And his shrug, it was like, yeah, what'd you expect? It was great.
I really do enjoy Renee. He doesn't get a ton of screen time that often, but he always gets these good little one-liners, like this wry look at whoever says something about him. And, you know, I didn't think I liked it much at first, but every time he refers to someone as Hoss now, it kind of makes me smirk a little bit. I'm not sure why.
Ditto.
All right, Chris, what do you got left for the episode?
Oh, let's see. We didn't figure out anything else on Vigilante this week. He didn't even show up, and you'd think that he would be sort of showing up with gunfights going on in the middle of Star City, but guess not.
Any new crazy theories on that, Michelle?
Nope, not yet.
All right, I'm going to miss the Bratva if we don't see it again. for a while. We really went four and a half years to get where we got out of the Bradfa. Glad we got the Bradfa story. Wish it was a little bit better. It's always good to see Anatoly, and can't wait to see it again, and hopefully the payoff is even better next time.
Fingers crossed, guys. Fingers crossed.
All right, what do we got next week?
Well, next week, we are going to cover the Legends of Tomorrow episode, Compromised, which is their fifth episode for their second season. It originally aired November 10, 2016. The legends trace a time quake to the White House during Ronald Reagan's presidency and discover that Damien Dark is a senior advisor, directed by David Geddes and written by Keto Shimizu and Grain Godfrey.
I hate the 80s. Just keep that in mind.
Just liking Mick more and more. And oh, by the way, the reason that we're doing this is because the next Arrow episode is in 4 weeks. Yes, they're taking a long 4 week hiatus. So we will be going down Legends of Tomorrow episodes 5, 6, 7, and 8 during the off time. And with that, let's get on to some news. From the Starling City Tribune newsroom, we have Chris leading us off with a spoiler room scoop on Supergirl.
Well, so Entertainment Weekly had some information. They talked about Supergirl, but more importantly, gave us a scoop on the finale of Arrow. Remember, we've always had these jokes that at the end of each season, it seems like Star City just goes to hell even more. So there's a big citywide fight. The city gets trashed even more, and they lose more good cops and things like that. Well, as the season heads towards the ultimate showdown between Oliver and Chase, we're going to be seeing a very different season finale. Mark Guggenheim says, we're not going to destroy the city. Ooh. We're not even going to threaten the city. In fact, I can tell you in the finale, it doesn't even take place in the city.
Oh, wait. Are they going to destroy a helicarrier?
Maybe. We'll see. Finally, the citizens of Star City can breathe easily in May, he said. Wherever the finale takes place, you can expect a good number of returning characters. Characters you haven't seen in a while. Back in the episode, if they make it Slade Wilson, I'll take back everything bad I might have said about the show recently. Just saying.
I don't think that's going to happen. Michelle, what do you think? Is that going to happen?
Shh, don't ruin it.
No. Yeah. Like we keep saying, Manu Bennett burnt that bridge. Like he took napalm to it.
Let me have my dream, people. More Slade. More Slade.
Yeah, the two did not part company in good ways for either of them, really, because in the end, everybody does indeed want more Slade. Although I, you know, with Suicide Squad, yeah, as much as I don't want to talk about it, I think that that would just have been made impossible.
Academy Award winning Suicide Squad. You need to give the proper title, Golden Stargate Pioneer.
It's the genuine Stargate Pioneer, and you get one an episode from now on. I'm just cutting you off there. You get one. That was two, so no more. Just one an episode.
You don't want me to talk about the Academy Award-winning movie Suicide Squad anymore, SP?
No, I don't. Okay. I don't think our fans want that either.
Well, you guys let us know. Give us a call at 612-888-CAVE and let us know if I'm allowed to talk about the Academy Award-winning movie Suicide Squad.
All right, I've had enough. Michelle, let's talk about Mark Guggenheim and what he says about Arrow's vigilante.
Well, according to executive producer Mark Guggenheim, Vigilante's identity is a mystery that will continue into season 6. He says that they know who it is, and they're excited to explore this in season 6, but whoever Vigilante is, we already know who we've seen this person before. Mark Guggenheim says, I'm not a fan of mystery characters. When you take off the mask and the audience goes, wait a minute, I've never seen that person before in my life. So I'm probably not spoiling anything, he says, by saying whoever's underneath the vigilante mask, you've seen that person before. So that's a nice clue that we've seen this person before.
So guys, if they make it be Slade Wilson under the mask, I'll take back anything bad I've said about the show this season for that ultimate payoff.
Hey, that could be a possibility. I'll let you run with that. I'll let you have your little fantasy for now on that.
I just want it to be true.
I can't believe you chose this as one of your stories this week, but Chris, you...
I'm just giving the people what they want because I already know it's going to get stuck to me in the feedback this week. So I'm going to head it off and talk about this story right now.
It is time to talk about Katie Cassidy.
It is time, and I will save, perhaps I will save my opinion until we get to the feedback section so that people get the reaction they're hoping for at that point in time. But it was announced on various news sites, including comicbookresources.com, that Katie Casti will return as a series regular for season 6 of Arrow. Though her character died in season 4, Katie Casti will return, but with a twist, she'll play Black Siren, Earth 2's evil version of Laurel. Black Siren will feature in the last two episodes of season 5 as well. Mark Guggenheim said in a statement, "One of the things that most excites us about Arrow is that we go where the story takes us. Last year, the story took us to the tragic death of Laurel Lance. This year, our mid-season finale reintroduced us to Laurel's doppelganger, Black Siren. We were so taken by Katie's fearless interpretation of this character that we knew her story was not yet finished. We couldn't be more thrilled to welcome Katie back to Arrow as Black Siren, though her appearances on Arrow and DC's Legends Tomorrow this season show that she never really left the family." So guys, those of you that were mad because Laurel Lance was no longer on Arrow, she's back. And you guys can be happy, but it's kind of with a twist that she's back. So what do you guys think about this twist? Do you like it?
Saw it coming. I mean,
that's fair.
I knew they couldn't get rid of her completely, not after the reaction of her death and such. Yeah. And the fact they kept her on contract and stuff. I saw it coming. I'm happy. I think it'd be interesting. But yeah.
I think it's just a tragic confluence of events because Katie Casti and Stephen Amell didn't mesh well on screen, so they really couldn't take that relationship as it really stands in the comic books. I will reluctantly admit that at this point in time. However, they built a lot of expectations over the course of the first 4 years, and just to kill her off like they did, and we've talked about this before, they did end up losing a lot of audience over that. So they're trying to make it up for this, but it's just not going to be the same. And we'll just see how this goes. I'm sure we'll get a lot of news points that pump this up as we get into the last two episodes of season 5 when she returns. So we'll talk about it more then. And Neil, I know, has a lot to say about it as well. In the meantime, I mentioned it before. Michelle's going to bring you some more information on it. It's the shocking Felicity twist on this week's Legends of Tomorrow.
Yes. Mark Guggenheim told EW about that appearance of Felicity on Legends of Tomorrow, that it's always nice when you can pull in a character from one of the other shows. We talked about a lot of different ideas, and he said, since this is an alternate reality and we'll probably never have the opportunity to do so again, I think it would be fun if we did Felicity as a superhero. He'll said it before and he'll say it again. I have zero intention of ever putting Felicity in a mask and a costume on Arrow. There's two lines in the sand that I've drawn for Arrow for myself, Guggenheim said. I can't speak for Greg Berlanti or for Wendy Miracle, but for as long as I'm involved with this show, the two things I never want to do is to kill off Thea and put Felicity in a mask and a costume. Those, to me, are two lines that I think are just a bridge too far. So, there you go.
Now that he said that about Thea, I know exactly what they're going to do first episode of season 6.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. Jeez.
Kill off Thea. Ugh. And he's got his way out because he can't speak for Greg or Wendy. So they could just overrule him. Or he could say that they overrule him.
Loophole.
They're not going to kill Thea.
Not yet.
And they can't. She's not even on the show and people are like, where's Thea? Where's Thea? And stuff. So they are just certain characters that you just can't kill. Thea needs to be one of them.
Talking about Thea, Chris, when is Thea going to return?
So we kind of touched on it earlier this episode that, well, she called to talk about her brother, but that was kind of confusing. TV Line had some information on that. They said, as for a hint as to when Arrow's Thea will return, Willa Holland will be on hand for the final three of this season's 5 remaining episodes. Thea is the daughter of sociopaths, which is one of the biggest challenges any human being can really face, notes co-showrunner Wendy Miracle. So she's going to be grappling with that and trying to understand, what is this in her that makes her so kind of Moira-esque, and how is she going to manage it? Ultimately, she and Oliver are going to come to the same conclusion about how to do that by the finale.
The series finale or the season finale?
It doesn't say, so put whatever word fits your personal narrative best.
I'm sure it's season.
Because she's going to die next season, according to SP, so it's got to be this season finale.
That's right. First episode, season 6.
She cannot die because she's going to be the maid of honor at Felicity and Oliver's wedding.
Oh.
You are really going down that path, aren't you?
Are we putting a quarter bet in on whether she dies? Quarter bet?
I will put a quarter bet down that she dies before the series is done. Yeah.
She makes it.
So we have a quarter bet.
Yep.
Where are you on, Chris?
I'm just the facilitator of the bet because I'm cheap.
Nah. You can't do that. You can't drop that challenge and not take it yourself.
Whatever. I do what I want.
You put your quarter down one side or the other.
My quarter says she'll die and get resurrected again.
No, that has been fulfilled by Sarah Lance.
It's already been fulfilled by Thea, too. She basically died.
No, Sarah's died twice.
At least, yeah. Almost a third time, too.
Right. So, you know, that Sarah's got that mantle. Thea will live, completely live. No die, no Lazarus pit. That's my bet. That's my part of the bet. She will survive.
It's going to take out the suspense of any future conflict. And Athea's going to make it through this one, so the scene's meaningless.
It's not like the Sharners haven't lied to us in an interview before or changed their plans on who's going to die and who's not. So let's not take it as the gospel truth when they say, oh, no, that's a line I don't want to cross. Come on, everyone is fair game, except maybe Oliver.
Yeah, at one point in time, I would have said absolutely, but that's dropped down to like a 99.8% chance now.
Oh, 99.8, how terrible.
See, Oliver and Felicity get married, then Oliver dies, and Thea is left alone, but alive.
And Thea marries Felicity as the rebound?
No, not even that's too far.
That's the line you're going to draw in the sand. Oliver gets killed, but Thea and Felicity can't end up together.
Well, that's just too tragic. I mean...
SP, have you been on fanfiction.net a lot lately?
I think so.
I haven't had time. I wish. This is good stuff, by the way, for anybody on fanfic.net. Let's move on to general DC TV news. Michelle, let's talk a little bit more about Legends of Tomorrow.
Sure. According to Legends of Tomorrow executive producer and showrunner Phil Klemmer, adding new characters is for sure again the plan for season 3 of the DC Comics-based series, which has already been ordered by the CW, although exactly which new faces will join the show may not have been totally cemented. So they're pitching, but they don't know. And just want to remind everyone that the finale for Legends of Tomorrow, called Aruba, will not air in its regular time slot. It will be on Tuesday, April 4th at 8 p.m. Eastern.
So at 9 p.m. Eastern, will they have the second half of their two-hour part called Jamaica?
No, it's going to be the premiere of iZombie.
Okay. I was kind of got that whole Beach Boy song, you know, Aruba, Jamaica.
You can't do any more fair use.
I know. That's all he said. Aruba, Jamaica.
Oh, thank goodness for fair use. Thank you, YouTube.
Is that Kokomo song with John Stamos in the video?
John Stamos wasn't in the original.
No, in...
Yes.
In the video. Because that's from that Tom Cruise movie, right? Cocktail? Something?
No, that was a real song. It was a real song before it was in there.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Indeed.
Okay. I don't know these things.
It's better off not knowing, I'll be honest.
Oh, okay.
All right, so let's move on from Kokomo and let's talk about some feedback, Michelle. So what do we have?
Well, I posted the news about Katie Cassidy coming back as Black Siren on Facebook and got some replies. Chris Campbell said, I like her as Black Siren a lot more than I ever did as Laura or Canary, LOL. Adam Nelson said, Chris is going to love it.
Thank you, Adam.
Haley Mail said, hashtag nor lore, no arrow. So
is this Chris, the part where I finally get to respond to make the listeners happy?
Sure.
All great responses. Chris Campbell, I like her as Black Siren more than I did as Laurel or Canary. I think everybody can agree with that. Adam, you hit it right on the head. And Chris, take it away.
So you know what? Here's the thing. I'm not going to play up to the thing everyone thinks. I don't hate this decision. I kind of scratched my head a little bit about it. But the problem is Laurel Lance from Earth One was irredeemable in my book. They killed her off. I had no issue with it because the character annoyed me. I didn't think she fit in well with things. But this is a completely different character. Yes, her name is Laurel Lance, but she has nothing in common with her Earth One counterpart aside from the fact her name is Laurel Lance. So I'm kind of curious to see how the meta version from a different Earth who's kind of villainous fits into things. It's an interesting take for the character. It'll be interesting to see Katie Cassidy get to play that different kind of role versus the Laurel that just annoyed the crap out of me. So I'm okay with it. I'm cautious because I don't want it to turn into, oh, we got to sort of follow the comics and make everyone ship Black Siren and Oliver now and make that be a thing when I don't think that would make sense at all. But we do like to say it is a CW show, so you never know what little twists they're going to take.
It's not only a CW show, but it's a CW show in a multi-universe setting. So you really never know what's going to happen at any point in time or what the heck Barry's going to do to everybody.
I can't wait to see the Black Siren, Dinah Drake fight. And maybe, you know, with their canary cries and stuff.
Oh, that's going to be cool.
Or they could bond and then fall in love and run away together.
That could be the marriage after Oliver dies.
There you go.
How did this turn into the marriage / shipping cast this week?
How is it not? It's a CW show, Chris. Just embrace it. Move with it.
Okay.
And as you're embracing the shipping that is done in this week's episode, think to other happy thoughts for you. Maybe other happy thoughts that might be on our network, the GunnaGeek.com network.
That is true. We do like to highlight the fact each week that the Starling Tribune is in fact part of the Gunna Geek Network, which you can find over at GunnaGeek.com or GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And each week, we like to highlight one specific show, give you a little taste of something else going on the network, so maybe you can go check that out for yourself. This week, we're going to talk about episode 35 of the Doom Ninja podcast, entitled Dalzim and Barbarka. This week on the Doom Ninja cast, the crew talks about Pokemon on the Apple Watch, StarCraft going free, and gaming for pixels. They followed up with their first impression of One Piece Pirate Warriors 3. It's all wrapped up with studio updates, including some news about revitalizing old releases. And I haven't listened to this episode yet, but if it's the old release I think they're talking about, I'm super excited to see what happens with that. So that is episode 35 of the Doom Ninja podcast, which you can find over at GunnaGeek.com.
And I was talking to the new Ninja Boys, by the way, and they're all excited over some new equipment that they have. So if you're a podcast nerd, you might want to go check out what they're using to record their show.
Ooh, fancy. We have hit that time of the show, folks, where it is time for us to start wrapping up. So as we wrap up, a big thank you to anyone that did watch us live over on Geeks.live or Diamond Club TV. Also, a huge thank you to anyone that downloads or watches the replays of this episode at a later date. Don't forget, you can find us over at GunnaGeek.com and StarlingTribune.com to pick up the audio podcasts.
And I want to thank everybody that has actually responded with feedback to us. We really appreciate that, like Chris Campbell and Adam and Haley, hashtag no Laurel, no Arrow, forever in my heart. And thank you very much. We love all of the interaction, especially the live tweets that Michelle has. And oh, by the way, if you'd like to give us live feedback, you can join us live on Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern on Geeks.live and join us in the live chat.
You can watch the next live show on the Gunna Geek Network over on Geeks.live. The next live show on the network is Better Podcasting, Friday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. We appreciate all those 5-star reviews on iTunes. Like us on Facebook and YouTube and badger us on Twitter.
You can find all of our contact information over on GunnaGeekNetwork.com. While you're there, check out our forums and all the other awesome shows that make up the network. If you want to share your thoughts, head on over to our Facebook page, send in a tweet, or give us a call at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283. Well, guys, I think this is going to wrap up another great episode this week. But any last words before we sign off and open up the chat to our live listeners? Let's start with at Stargate Pioneer.
Hashtag Mrs. and Mrs. Thea Black Siren.
I figured that was coming. How about at Michelle Ely?
Hashtag I'm so proud Curtis used his balls correctly.
Oh, I knew that one was coming too. And I am at the Chris Farrell signing off with hashtag Academy Award winning Suicide Squad. That's right. Hashtag Academy Award winning Suicide Squad. I just wanted to make sure that I emphasized that appropriately for one Stargate Pioneer. But with all that being said, Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at gunnageek.com or check out our archive at starlingtribune.com. Visit gunnageek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.